to die, that he might give eternal life, that I might live.
Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at YankeeArnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message.
Jesus saved my soul that night and turned my darkness.
God opens up not only just more opportunities, but because of their faithfulness, God can teach them more. God will give you wisdom you didn't have before. God can do that. And so, but it's because you separate yourself and decide, this is what I want to do, and you got to make up your mind. And this is what Paul's talking about, and it does make a difference. Look there now in verse 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. God did this. Now, why did he do miracles? Why do miracles? Well, he did miracles, as he says in the book of John in chapter 20. And God says that Jesus did these miracles so that people would believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by believing in him, they may have life through his name. So the reason for the miracles is to get people to believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, and that you ought to trust him. Paul is now blessed by God to do special miracles. Things that, you know, you're not supposed to be able to do. Now, you've got people today like Benny Hinn, and they've had them over the years, all kinds of people. And all they're doing is making merchandise of people. That's for money. Those people are not really being cured of anything. It's a sham. And a lot of people see it and they know it, but there's people that are plain ignorant. Now, you'll note that most of these big meetings they have, they go to some foreign country where they're poor, they don't have anything, and so they're gullible, they don't know the truth, they can't discern, and they'll get them together, and they'll have thousands and thousands and thousands, and they'll do anything you ask them to do. And they do. I've been to India several times. I've been to Egypt. I've been to Mexico. I've seen it. And all I want to give is just the gospel, just to get them to trust Christ as Savior. But they manipulate it. But now notice what he says here. In verse 11 of Acts chapter 19, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, not everybody is able to do miracles. Now, hold your place right here and just look over there in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And you'll notice that here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, we're saved from the penalty of sin, and we are being saved from the power of sin in our life. And one day we will be saved from the very presence of sin by leaving this world. But when we realize that as a child of God, God has given to us a wonderful message, a wonderful salvation. So we're supposed to take this message into all the world. But a lot of people are letting this slip from their mind as though that's not really that important. That means somebody else. You know, that's only referring to the, you know, the missionary or the evangelist, the pastor. Okay, how did the pastor get to be a pastor? How did the missionary get to be a missionary? How did that evangelist get to be an evangelist? He was saved like everybody else, wasn't he? So somewhere along the line, he didn't get a special call like God says, hello down there. No. They read the Bible. They studied the Bible. And they usually come up with the conclusion, if I don't do it, who is? Why is somebody else more responsible than me? How do I know that's not what God wants me to do? A lot of times we just do whatever we want and call it the will of God. That's the easiest way. Because if I don't want to do it, God's not leading me. And I don't want to do it in the energy of the flesh. Boy, have I heard that. Like the old man really wants to win a lot of people to the Lord. God gave us a command. Whenever they come up here and they light the candles, how soon should that candle start giving off light? Tomorrow. When it's lit. Or when you receive the light of the gospel and know you have eternal life, when do you think God wants you to start giving off light? Well, let somebody else do it. That's what most people do. As long as it's not me. And I tried to find a loophole in the Bible. Where it means everybody but me. Because I had other things I wanted to do. I got a life. I got a wife. I got kids. I mean, why should I do it? And so you'll find out there's people who are always trying to find an escape route to get away from that responsibility. And that's why they like to go to a church where there's a multitude of people so they can just get lost. And if they don't do it, well, look at all the people. If I don't show up, who cares? Nobody knows me anyway. Because, see, if you go to a small church, you'll have about 15, 20 people that really know you. You go to a big church, you'll have about 15, 20 people that really know you. That doesn't change. Because your circle still stays the same size. I don't care where you go. Don't increase that much more. And so, but there's a way of running. But somewhere along the line, we try to say something that's going to get you to, I love sound effects. Stop and get you to pay attention to what God says. But notice what he says here. In verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, those who obeyed or disobeyed got what they deserved. He says, well, what about us? How shall we escape? How shall we escape what? Well, what's mentioned right there in the verse 2 before it? The disobedient received a just recompense of reward. You're going to receive what you earned. You see, as a child of God, we have a choice. We can make a choice. Obedience, disobedience. That's how easy it is. That's what it comes down to. Either we obey the Lord or we disobey the Lord. And so he says, how shall we escape if we, God's children, neglect so great salvation? We're already saved, so we're not talking about us being lost, earning salvation. But it's the salvation that's been given to us. Now, as he says here, which the first began to be spoken by their Lord, was confirmed unto us, the apostles, by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So there's Christ, and he gave the word to the apostles. The apostles, by signs and miracles, got others to believe what they said. Christ did miracles so that the apostles would believe what he said. And so, if we neglect this great salvation that's been given to us, what's going to happen to us? So that's why you read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, and you don't do anything about it, you don't witness, you don't serve God, you don't dedicate your life to the Lord. In other words, there's no change in your life. Doesn't have to be. But there's going to be chastisement. That's why in chapter 12, here it comes, the chastening hand of God. So, yes, they did miracles, but the miracles were to get people to believe on Christ. Hold your place here in Acts and look there in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. John chapter 20, and look in verse 30. This is on page 1144. And you'll notice here in verse 30, He says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Man, I'd love to know what they were. Whatever you can't know is what I want to know. It's just like putting cookies on the top shelf and then tell your kids, don't look in that third cookie jar. Don't look in that third. Now, which one do you think they're going to want to look in? The third cookie jar. There's a reason. Because that's just the way we are. We want to do what you tell me you can't do. And so I was told that the best way to get an old person, you know, like a wife, an old person to get something done is tell them, because of your age, you probably can't do that. Well, what did you just do to that guy? Now he's got, I'll show you. I'll show you I'm not that old man. Well, he does and he dies. But anyway, look in verse 31. But these are written that ye, get this, might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So these are written so that you would believe. And so the reason for miracles is so that people will trust Christ as Savior. Do you believe that God is giving guys like Benny Hinn the power to do miracles and then he gives them a false gospel? No. If you don't have a clear gospel, God didn't give you power to do miracles. He's not going to. The reason for the miracles is so that people will believe. Anyway, go back there to the book of Acts. And look what he was able to do. He says in verse 12, so that from his body were brought unto him sick handkerchiefs or aprons. And the diseased departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Just because he had a handkerchief. I've heard people get on the radio and say, put your hand on the radio for contact. You want some contact and feel the spirit, put your hand in the back of that radio. I guarantee you, you'll have a feeling. But in verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews and gypsies, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preached. In other words, they're trying to get in on the goodies. And if it's working for Paul, hey, it'll work for us. So these are the bad guys. So the bad guys are not going to cast out evil spirits by saying, in Jesus' name. And you'll hear a lot of people talking, in Jesus' name. Okay, well, you can do it in Jesus' name. But that doesn't mean you know Jesus. And so these people, and the man had seven sons. Look what he says there in verse 14. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priest. Chief of the priest. I mean, hey, this is somebody. Which did so. And he had seven sons. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? I don't know you. So the evil spirit says, I know Paul, and I know Jesus, but I don't have a clue who in the world you are. So the evil spirits came out, and guess where they went? It says in verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So much for them. But anyway, you cannot discern error until you know truth. You must know the truth before you can discern error. And many people, because they don't know the Bible, cannot discern, and it just, they go by feelings. They feel. It's always a feelings. And you'll notice that when a person, they go to work, they don't do some of that stuff. But if they all go to the same meeting, and they're all gathered together, and next thing you know, they fire one another up. And all you got to do is, hey, man, Jesus. And next thing you know, there's about 10 of them start doing the same thing. And if one starts rolling in the aisle, another one starts doing it. I've been to the church. I've watched. One day in Colorado, they're having this tent meeting up on the hill. And so I was driving by with my daughter and my son, and I thought, this would be a good lesson for them. I says, let's just pull in here, see what goes on. So we watched this man get out of this car. And before he went in, he was kind of getting there a little late, so were we. And we watched him get his cast out of the back seat, and he put it around his leg, and he strapped it on his leg. I said, now you watch. He's going to get healed in just a little bit. He was putting his cast on his leg. And next thing you know, they're in there, and they're singing. And, buddy, I love their singing. You're talking about singing. They know how to sing. And music, they got some of the best music you'll ever hear. And so they went in, and it wasn't long before they were, you know, speaking in languages and stuff like that, which is not a language. It's gibberish. It's like a tape recorder running backwards. It's a total release of the mind. And but anyway, when you know the Bible and you know every verse on tongues, you can say, that's not this. That is not this. And so you find out, okay, that's not. And you'll always find out that they will also have a gospel that is not the gospel. Their gospel will be that you are got to turn from your sin. You got to make Christ the Lord and Master of your life. And you got to live right. And you got to even sometimes they'll give lessons on how to speak in tongues. My sister, they had my sister down at the front. And I'm standing back there. And he got my sister down at the front. And she wanted to get saved so bad. And she wanted to speak in tongues so bad. And she said, I guess God doesn't want me. Because she couldn't do it. And they said, now open your jaw. Just let the jaw. Blah, 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 blah. And just go, blah, 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 blah. Just started. She couldn't do it. Because I guess she just, it must be phony. Because if it's like, God, why do you have to learn how to do it? But anyway, we went to the meeting and we watched. And the next thing, he got a line. Going to heal. And so they started lining up. And they came in. And all of a sudden, here comes this guy. With his leg. He got up there and he prayed on. He got healed, gloriously healed. He took the thing off of it and he walked down. He just walked back and forth. And I said, do you see anything wrong with this? We saw him standing up, putting it on. I said, there's nothing wrong with the guy. And but now, some people can have a lot of different kinds of problems. And they want to be healed. I know that. Because we want a healthy body. And there's nothing wrong in praying to the Lord to heal our bodies. But God doesn't heal everybody. If he healed everybody, nobody would die. And nobody would ever get to heaven. Sooner or later, somewhere along the line, God can't heal you. Or nobody would get to heaven. It's amazing that all these people that talk about, and I had this one guy, he said, I ain't sinned in 40 years. They die. Why do they die? The wages of sin is what? The reason they die, because they're sinners. They say, we're not sinners. Yes, you are. You are a sinner. That's why you're going to die. And while I was a student at Florida Bible College, about five or six of us decided to go, well, they're having a tent meeting and they're having some healing going on, so we decided to go. So we sit right back there in the back. Not too many people were behind us, but we were sitting there and we're all together in a group. And we just came to observe. And it wasn't long before the music started. Oh, the music was awesome. And man, we're just, you can't help but get right with it because it's good. And then he says, we're going to have healing tonight. The power of God. Spirit's coming down. I can feel the Spirit. He's here today. And he talked. He says, but you got to have seed faith. And the faith that you need to show is you got to put some money in the offering. Because without, that's the proof you really have faith. So he started off, and he had the offering plates down there. He didn't pass the plate. He simply asked you to come down and give. He said, I got $1,000 bill, and I'm putting $1,000 because I believe. It shows that I got faith. And he put $1,000, he'd probably get it back later, but he put $1,000 in. If you got $1,000, come on down. And so there'd be a couple of people come down and put $1,000. I'm going to try this morning for offering. See if it'll work. And then he says, you don't have $1,000. You got $100. $100. And people kind of come down, $100. He said, you don't have $100. You got $50. He kept on until he got all the way down. If you don't have a dollar, the whatever change you got in you, you got to have proof that you got faith. And if people come down here and give them their last penny, their nickels. Time to go to a meeting like that is empty your pockets first and then go. And after a while, everybody was down at the front. Except about five or six was sitting right back there. We're all sitting there watching, observing. And then after he done got all their money and they're standing down here. Because they, when they come down there, he keeps them down here. Well, because that makes other people who didn't do it feel a little bit out of place. You don't have any faith. So everybody's down there except about five or six of us sitting back there. We're all college students. I'm 24, 25 years old. And the next move, he says, I see we have some unbelievers here tonight. Some unbelievers. If the power of God doesn't work tonight, if nobody gets healed tonight, it's because of those unbelievers sitting back there. Now, ain't it something? We got more power to stop the miracle, us unbelievers, than all these that did believe. We watched a little bit longer and then nothing happened. Nobody got healed of anything. But he cleaned house. And we left. That's a sham. But they play upon the people's emotions. Because there's people who are genuinely want something. But if they only knew the truth, this book will truly satisfy. But because people have so much based upon their feelings, they want something to make them feel good, make me feel good. And so they can do all the hollering and jumping and ranting and raving, and then they leave, they're just as empty as when they came. They don't last long because it's a show. The person generally that's doing the speak, he knows. But he can manipulate in such a way to get everything he can from them. And I think it's a shame. Well, this is what was going on right here. Notice what he says here in verse 16. He fled. They fled. All seven of them, eight of them, including Daddy. And this was known in verse 17 to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. Fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together, burned them before all men. They're talking about a book burning. Here, because of the wicked practices going on. And sometimes people, they need to take all their music that's no good, that doesn't honor the Lord, all that music that many people have in their homes, that doesn't honor the Lord, ought to get it all together and have a big old burning and burn it up. And books that are against God, that are not honoring, that you don't use for study to build your faith and stuff like that, you ought to watch. And there's a lot of people that ought to take all the, some kind of magazines that they get and the pornography that they have and burn that junk. Get it out of your home. You're better off. And sometimes I have gone into certain homes, and sometimes, especially with the teenagers, they'll have all these metallic rock bands, these people that are, you know, that are wild and on acid rock and, you know, Kiss and all these other ones, and they got all this wicked stuff all over the walls. And then they wonder why their kids are rebellious. Look what they've been listening to. And parents are not let their kids go to junk like that. Listen to stuff like that. Get that stuff and get it away from them. The devil works through stuff like that. You might need a clean house. Spring cleaning. Anyway, I know I will not make many friends saying these things. But now loads the list of it. He says, and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. But look at the results. When people do right, put the Lord first, separate themselves from those that are not right, cleaning out all this junk that you don't have and don't need in your life. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. They have victory. A lot of people, they don't have victory because they go places they shouldn't go. They watch things they shouldn't watch. They read things they shouldn't read. And in other words, they're not living a godly life. But in Ephesians in chapter 5, it says, so walk ye in him, imitate the Lord. And it says, those things that are of the world, Let it not be once named among you. Have high standards. Your home should be a place like a little heaven on earth. And home ought to be like that. And that's where mom and dad have to take stands. Anyway, time is up. Y'all behave. Do right.
Look up here. Letting this hand represent you and me, and this wallet represents sin. Now, we all have sin on us. Everyone here is a sinner, just like me. We're all sinners. God loves us. Now, he hates our sin, but he loves us. All of us are in the same boat, for all have sinned. All have come short of God's perfection. The wages of sin is death, and since every man sinned, every man is condemned. And God wants every man to be saved and to go to heaven. So Christ died for all men. You see, to go to heaven, you have to be perfect, but nobody's perfect. Nobody's righteous. So that's why no man can save himself. And so a man cannot do any good deeds to get to heaven because, you see, it can't be bought. We're already condemned to pay for what we've done. So a man has to be saved. This is Jesus Christ, God's Son. God chose his Son to come into the world because he had no sin. He was his righteous servant. He took all of our sins, the sins of the whole world, upon himself. Came back from the dead. And God said that if we'll believe that he did it for us, God is bound by his word. He has to save everyone who believes, whosoever believeth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, from the foundation of the world, has predetermined to save all those that will believe. And all those that will not believe, God has predetermined they'll spend an eternity separated from God in a literal fire-burning hell. Salvation is free. It's a gift. And it's whosoever believeth. Let's pray, shall we? With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I have no axe to grind. I just want to preach the book. And I want you to understand that God loves you. He sent his Son to die for you, to pay for your sins. He said if you'll trust him as your Savior, he'll give you eternal life as a gift. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You don't buy it. And God says once he saves you, you're his child forever. He'll never cast you out, never lose you. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, I hope you understand the importance of telling people, getting them out under the sounds of the gospel. Let God use your power of influence in the lives of other people to get them under the sounds of the gospel. It's so important. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon each person that's here to help them to understand that you have chosen them. They have been elected, anointed by you, called to serve you. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. And I pray, Lord, that each person here would respond to you, correct anything in their life that needs to be corrected, and they'll love you with all their heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Were you ever told that you must confess Christ before men to be saved? Were you warned that if you refused to confess Christ, he would not confess you before the Father? Just what does that mean? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.